बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। प्लीज कम टू द 11th चैप्टर 11th वर्स। एट भगवती द कैपिटल ऑफ नागलोका, as the Bhagavati capital of Nagaloka is protected by the Nagas, similarly Dwaraka was protected by the descendants of Vrishni, namely Bhoja, Madhu, Dasharha, Arha, Kukura and Andaka, etc. And they were all, who were as strong as Lord Krishna, as empowered by Krishna, they were very strong. The city of Dwarakapuri was filled with the opulences of all seasons. There were hermitages, orchards, flower gardens, parks, and reservoirs of water, breeding lotus flowers all over. So you can picturize it in your mind. There were hermitages. How do they look like? A cottage of Brahmanas. Orchards. Orchards means like mango orchard, orange orchard, chiku, grapes orchards. So, flower and fruit-bearing trees, and flower gardens, and gardens full of varieties of colorful flowers of different shapes, sizes, and forms and fragrances. And parks with a lot of greenery, and reservoirs of water like ponds, where there were lotuses and lilies. Naturally, there must have been ducks and swans and chakravakas, karandavas, they all must have resided in the water. So Prabhupada says, if you see the purport, Dwaraka was surrounded by flower gardens, fruit orchards, reservoirs of water and growing lotuses. Prabhupada says there is no mention of mills, factories and slaughterhouses. He is saying, like in the modern metropolis we see. And then below if you go, Prabhupada says, the leaders of modern civilization select their own residential quarters in a place where there are such naturally beautiful gardens and reservoirs of water, like Kadakwasla. They have their house in a villa in Kadakwasla, where there's a lot of greenery, beautiful gardens, waterfalls, mountains. They live close to nature in a big bungalow. But what they do? They leave the common men to reside in congested areas without parks and gardens. In this way, the whole city becomes filled with concrete jungle. Everywhere where you turn around, they build the buildings very close. You've seen that? They're giving very little space. There's no place for gardens and ponds and parks. So now, why do we at all, somebody may say, just because these gardens are beautiful, is it necessary that we have to have gardens in the city? Anybody can say here, imagine a city filled with only concrete buildings and there are no gardens, no plants, no trees, no parks. What is the problem? Anybody? Ask Prabhu. Plants give out oxygen and we give out carbon dioxide. If there are no plants, then the whole city will become filled with two things, carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide. Both. Monoxide and dioxide, both. So, carbon monoxide is pollution of all the vehicles and everything, and carbon dioxide is also, you know, it is excreted, I mean, removed from our system. It is supposed to be food for the plants. But without taking oxygen from the plants, human beings, they will have all complications, diseases, problems and everything. Correct, no? So, scientifically we can show how this is required. But But apart from that oxygen, why do we need ponds and gardens and these things? Prabhupada explains here. If you see below, go a little below. Prabhupada says, it is understood that all the people depended on nature's gifts of fruits and flowers, without industrial enterprises promoting filthy huts and slums, Jopripati. And then he's saying, advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of mills and factories to deteriorate the finer instincts of the human being, but on developing the potent spiritual instincts of human beings and giving them a chance to go back to Godhead. Development of factories and mills is called ugra karma or pungent activities. And such activities deteriorate the finer sentiments of the human being and society to form a dungeon of demons. Like that Prabhupada says. So two things Prabhupada is saying. That modern day type of mills and factories makes human beings become very gross in terms of their karma, which is called ugra karma. Ugra karma means what? Sometimes you go to a factory, you find a huge fire. They call it smithi, they call it. Smithi. They put some, you know, sometimes they put something and it comes from the top and hits. Some kind of mold, it comes from the top and hits, and then a particular object is formed. Like plastic industries also, and iron industries also. In order to mold the object, something keeps moving like this. It comes and hits it. So those people are given this earplugs to wear by the companies, you will see. One thing is the noise. Another thing is people work very close to the fire. Huge fire. So we used to go to some industries like that to watch. But when the fire is going on there, even here you will feel the heat. Such a huge quantity of fire. So the fire is painful for the body. And also industries which have cutting machines and all, many, many people have put their fingers and fingers have been cut. You will hear that. Any worker, you will find every 2 years, every 1 year, there will be somebody getting their fingers cut. Because there's a sliding thing which goes like this. It goes up. So they have to push the sheet to cut the sheet, but while cutting sheet, their finger also gets cut. That kind of thing. And also the welding, you know, it's not good for the eyes. He himself uses a, what do you call it, shield while doing the welding, correct, no? And the noise of putting the rods on the anvil and hitting with the hammer, da-da, da-da, every 2 minutes you have to hear such a heavy sound. So there is noise pollution, there is heat of the fire, there is danger of losing bodily parts, and there are also falling objects. Sometimes you will find if you go to a shop floor, they have a ladder kind of thing to climb up, and shop superintendent has a cabin in the top. And there are many machines, if you see the furnaces where they pour the cast iron, they have a huge cupola they call it, no? Cupola, furnace where they work. So people climb up to top. Many people, like when we were in IIT, one company, Schlumberger, they were offering a job which was offering like 1.3 lakhs per month. So we were wondering, is it 1.3 per annum or per month? They were per month. And you have to work only 15 days, they said. It was so wonderful. So we were all shocked. Everybody wanted to go for the interview. When we went to the TNP department, they told that, see, this is a slightly hazardous job. That is why they are paying a wonderful salary for you, such a high package for you. You have to work in the offshore oil drilling project, which will be in the ocean. In the ocean, they have made a huge structure, 300 feet high. So you are supposed to go to the top and supervise things, climb up, climb down. And sometimes people fall into it also. They die also sometimes. They said every few days you hear about somebody falling and dying also. And also they said when they are extracting the petroleum products, when it is coming out, there will be a huge smoke which is considered poisonous, because of which they will send you home for 15 days. Then one boy asked, sir, for 15 days they are giving 1.2 lakhs. If you work one full month, can they give 2.4 lakhs? Then the teacher said, if you work full month, you will die in 3 months only. They said, such is the poison which is coming. So after knowing the situation of the job, none of us wanted to opt for it. The idea is, this type of jobs are called Ugra Karma. Because you will find, not only that, similarly Prabhupada says in America also, when people drive the cars, they go at a breakneck speed. Prabhupada says, inside the car, the living entity is sitting and driving very, very fast, something like 250, 300 kilometers per hour. In America, 80 miles per hour is a very average speed. 80 miles per hour. I remember going in the car with the devotee. 80 miles is like our 40 or 50. It's like that. Our 40, 50, not mile. India is kilometer per hour. There, 80 miles per hour is everybody. It's considered slow speed there. And so when I was going in the car, I saw it was 130, 140 miles per hour they drive on the road. And he said, Prabhuji, I'm keeping the car a bit slow, you know, 140, 150. People go even faster than that. 200 also they go. 200 miles per hour means it is 400 kilometer per hour. Correct, no? So you can imagine what's breakneck speed, Prabhupada calls it. So inside the car, the living entity is afraid. Anytime anything will happen while driving. Like that, Prabhupada. And suddenly there is one accident of a car, then all the cars hit one after another. Pat, 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 behind everyone. Several people die in such accidents like that. So Prabhupada says, this is Ugra Karma, you see. And then you hear the newspaper, so many dozens of people died in car accident. And Prabhupada says, aeroplane can take 500 people, 600 people up in the air, and it may crash sometimes due to some problem. So it's a very easy way to kill a large number of people. On the other hand, you never hear in a village, somebody was going in a bullock cart, there was an accident, they died. Bullock cart, there is hardly any chance for accident because the speed of the bullock cart is not much. So, the Vedic, if you see all the Vedic equipments, there is no possibility of accidents, you will see. Like we have this bull going round and round and making the oil. Correct, no? Or the bullock cart carrying us from one place to another. Correct, no? Yeah. So we have all the things that we use in the Vedic things are very simple things. But the Ugra Karma means this kind of, while involving with them, lot of heat, lot of sound, lot of possibility of danger by slight carelessness. They are all involved in Ugra Karma. Now, it is not to say that only the mechanical engineering companies are dangerous. The IT companies are even more dangerous. Why? Because in an IT company, when you sit to work in the computer, you know, your whole mind, your intelligence, everything is, your subtle body, the whole thing is into the computer, completely absorbed. I remember I showed one this thing. Where is the sound? Yeah. You got it? Quickly. It's only 15 seconds, but it is very meaningful. Here, here, here. Sound is coming? Say, I know you are working so hard. You don't have much time for us, she's telling. But I am so feeling lonely, she's saying. Does it do the mouse like this? No? This fellow has become a zombie. Zombie means what? He has become, actually he is working in the IT company for years together, due to which when she says I am lonely, you know, he is catching her hand and using it like a mouse. You saw him? Moving front back and doing like this. because he's completely gone, he's in the company only. Even in her company, he is an IT company. So you just their head gets screwed up because of all day working with, you know, because they are associating with machines so deeply, they become machine-like also. So in Vedic times, you will find all the people, all the devatas, if they want to transport themselves from one place to another, their vahanas are all living vahanas or dead vahanas. They all have living vahanas. Think about any of them. Of course, there are also vaimanikas. Vaimanikas, alalanas, charitani, shashwat, gayanti, yatra, shamalak, shapanani, bartu. It says there is also vimans also available. But you find there is a pushpaka viman or even the swan carrier. But you will find, especially the devatas and leaders, their vahanas are all living vahanas. You see like that. So in this way, you find in the Vedic life, people work very close to nature, with plants, with trees, with animals, with birds. Because of that, their sensitivity is also very high. But modern time, we work a lot with machines. We work with mobile, we work with computers, we work with car. Like in computer, as soon as you have a desktop computer, for example, they will say, boot the computer. What is the meaning of boot? Take your boot and kick. Boot. Correct, no? See, in Vedic times, like one devotee was sitting with Paramahansa Anand Maharaj. So he was telling that, hey, Samit sticks in the fire, he said. Maharaj said, no, feed the sticks in the fire. He said, why? Because the fire is Vishnu's mouth. In Vishnu's mouth, you should feed, not throw. You don't say, hey, take Gulab Jamun and throw it into his mouth. Will you say like that? What you will say? Yeah, feed him Gulab Jamun. Correct, no? If you understand it as Vishnu's mouth, you should feed it. Is it not true? Similarly, I remember my mother used to say, tell my sister, you know, hey, take a flower, you know, and go to the deity room and rest the lamp. Like that she used to say. So they used to take a flower and go and touch that lamp which is glowing. When you touch it, it will get off. So that the oil will be saved for that day. Keep it. And the next day morning when you want to do puja, again you will lit it up. But they will not blow like that. Because it is, when you blow, the saliva from your mouth touches the fire, which will become muchi. Muchi means what do you call it? It's impure. So you have to take a flower and touch it. And you cannot do like this also. Because if you put up, it is considered amangal, inauspicious. But you should take a flower and touch it. That is the way they do it. So in Vedic life, you will see how sensitive they are in doing everything. Similarly, you are going out of house to some place. When I would tell my mother, you know, I am going to school, if you say, she will not let me go that day. Today you have to stay back at home. Because you know, you have spoken something inauspicious. You will wonder, what is inauspicious going to school? What you should say? No, I am going and coming, you should say. It's called poitren. Poitren means poitu varen. I will go and come. Then she will say, yes, now you go and come. You should never say, I am going. Going means you will go to Shmashan only. That is the meaning when you say, I am going. So, you will see in the dealings between people, similarly, if women at home, as soon as some special guest, some male member comes, they will immediately go inside. And then the male guest is coming and sitting and talking. Then the owner of the house, he will call his wife and daughter, hey, all of you come out, come and see who has come. Then they may come out, briefly be introduced, talk a short while, and then they go inside again. So that is considered etiquette. That's considered sensitivity. Then everybody will not be sitting in the front hall, mother, daughter, along with the husband, kaun aapka naam kya hai, kidhar se aaye hain. They will not talk like that. So you will find this type of sensitivity within in dealing with other human beings, in dealing with sacrificial fire, you know, in dealing with the lamb, and dealing with animals, dealing with birds, dealing with trees. So you will find that that sensitivity gets lost, Prabhupada says, by the modern day style of the Ugra Karma activities. Ugra Karma actually torments the gross body as well as subtle body. And it involves a lot of hard work, enormous hard work for the body, beyond the bodily limits. And at the same time, it also it brings about fatigue. Fatigue means tiredness in the body and mind. It brings irritability. It brings impatience. It arouses frustration. It arouses depression. So all these things are a result of Ugra Karma. You will see. So, for example, how many of you wanted to send an SMS to somebody, but the train was going through Lonavala caves, or not caves, what do you call it? Tunnels, yeah. It was going through tunnels. And you have written the message, you are pressing it, you know, but it is not sending it, because there is no range. And you want to desperately send to that person, because that person is going to give away some 2 lakhs to somebody. And you are telling him, don't give the money, after I come back and consult with you, then you can give. That's what you have written in SMS. And that fellow is already gone to that particular shop, he's going to give, and you want to send. At that time, what will be your state of consciousness? Huh? Yeah, you'll be panicky. Correct, no? And you'll be pressing the button again and again. Go, and you'll feel like, you know, breaking the mobile. You crazy mobile, you are not sending it now. Huh? If you don't send, I will take a hammer and break you down. Correct, no? You get very frustrated. So, now we may say, but Prabhuji, when the range is there, mobile is good now. It's very, how valuable it is, we can send. But the problem is what? Because when the range is good, it is working, you get used to leading a fast-paced life. We all have a tendency to whatever speed you give, we hike up our amount of activities also. Like one time I told my computer was a bit slow. It'll be going like this in the beginning while opening. Then I told them, you give me a computer which will be, you know, fast. What to do? RAM should be increased. Okay, they increase the RAM and give. As soon as you open, cut, immediately it will come. So when we also increase our speed also, correct, no? Once the computer increases his speed, what we do? We increase our speed. Like now in mobile, for example, you're typing, you can just move your finger like this, like this. Then the words come, correct, no? Then we start sending long, long messages. How many of you agree? Correct, no? As if you are sending an email only. Correct, no? So you will see, this is how it becomes Ugra Karma. You understand, huh? And also what happens, we get addicted to the speed of machines. And when the machine doesn't cooperate, we get frustrated. That is the point, you see. Now in Vedic life, how it is, you are not allowed to make your life fast-paced. That is how the activities are designed. For example, you put paddy field, you put rice, you put wheat, you know, you put flowers. You know, after putting the seed, you know, then you have to wait for the rains to come. After the rains come, it will gradually grow. Because when we were children, I remember once our father took us to garden, and he allotted us some area. And he told, see, this is your area. This is the jandu you call it, no? Jandu seeds you gave. So we put jandu seeds in a row and you watered it. Slowly it sprouted. Then we all would go every morning. As soon as we get up, we would run to the garden. How big it has become. So it was coming like this, slowly. And then slowly a bud will come, you know. And then slowly the bud will blossom. The flower would come, we would be so happy. So then we started putting vegetables also, bhindi, brinjal, tomato, all those things. First a green tomato will come, then it will become red tomato. So we all would be going to garden, me, my sisters and all, and would be telling, hey, come fast, grow fast, become bigger. But it won't go very fast, it takes time, correct? No? Slowly it will come. We understood one thing over a period of time, that it takes its own time, and we need to be patient. So when you deal with nature, you have to be patient. Like for example, bull cart, bull has its own speed. Maybe you can twist the tail a little bit. You know, maybe little speed can be increased. But you can't make it 200 km per hour, 300 km. know, if you twist too much, what it will do? It will sit down. Therefore, you need patience. So, patience is inbuilt in Vedic life, in every activity. For example, you have to draw water from the well. You know, people used to draw with a rope like this. You have seen that? Or they put a wheel, pulley kind of thing, they draw like this. Because we used to draw from the water from the well, we won't waste water. Because, you know, because you have to draw more and more. See, all of you think for a moment, you are given a bucket and water to draw the water from the well. So, how many buckets you are likely to take bath? One bucket. You will finish in one bucket only. Now you are given a shower bath. How much you will take? Half an hour bath is saying, isn't it? So if you calculate the water used in a shower bath, you may use 6 buckets. Correct, huh? So that is why in Vedic life, when you are close to nature, you will see that there is no misuse of things, and also you will find that you develop a lot of patience. There is no frustration at all. There is no reason to get frustrated. Everything will take its time, and you are used to it. And you are used to it. And also there is tapasya involved. For example, mother is, you know, using a grinder to make something. She may be sweating, but it is good for the body also. And she is doing it with great love. When she is, you know, when a mother is working hard, making things, the children develop great love for her. And mother is working hard for our sake. She has made all this. Especially when you want to prepare very special items in cooking, one has to take little effort. And that is why the other day I was telling you, when you go to a village, a man may spend time with you for 2-3 days, taking you here, there. They have ample of time. There is no need to rush anywhere. You do your spiritual life. You take care of your material needs also. Lead a simple life. You know, you dress simple, eat simple, live simple, speak simple. Simplicity is there in village life. So there is also sensitivity in dealing with one another, in dealing with animals, in dealing with nature, how we deal with nature. So that's what Prabhupada is saying here in this place, that advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of mills and factories to deteriorate the finer instincts of human being. Like, for example, nowadays people are going to factories or mills or IT companies, and they make a lot of money. But in the city, many people see there are many poor creatures, like the very skinny cows eating the plastic covers. Or you find there are so many jhopadipattis and beggars. And people don't have the charitable culture of giving culture. So in the Vedic life, you will see people have such a giving culture. They were very fond of giving. Actually, everybody would feel that we should, if they see some children, they will want to give them something to eat. If they see saintly persons, they will want to give them some charity. Immediately. If they see some beggar, immediately their hand will go to the purse. We should give some dana dharma karna chahiye. We should do that. So in the pious life, you will see they immediately contemplate on sharing the gifts received from God with others, not enjoy everything oneself. Like celebrating a festival at home means naturally you have to cook something, make some item for people. When they come to your home, you have to feed them. Isn't that correct, no? Sometimes the women, they give some blouse pieces to other ladies who come to their home. They give kumkum, chandan, they give some eatable also, some prasad to the people. Somebody may say, why to take so much trouble? You know, just you be on your own. Recently, I went to Hyderabad, to the Infosys area, where I heard that there are something like 15,000 employees, 15,000 employees. So they have made one housing colony. This devotee showed me, Madhav Gopinath Prabhu showed me. This housing colony, like almost 20-story building, none of the houses have a kitchen. These buildings made with homes without kitchen. Then you may ask, then where do they eat? Below that building, in the ground floor, they have a hotel made, mess kind of thing. So all the husband, wife, both husband is working, wife is working. So they come down and they eat in the morning, pack for the lunch for the company, and then they go to company. Evening they come back and eat there and go to home. So they have no puja room, no kitchen. They are just living like two-legged animals only. Now, he said that many of these families have terrible quarrels. Why? Why quarrel will not come? Quarrel has to come. If it doesn't come, you have to wonder why it's not coming. Because the wife is also wearing, you know, jeans and t-shirt, and husband is wearing jeans and t-shirt, and both go for IT job. Both are working, tapa 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 in the computer and making some money. You know, they are bringing some money monthly. They have a big bank balance. You know, husband is earning 65,000 and wife is earning 35,000. They get 1 lakh per month. So they are putting the money in the bank. They have money, but because the wife is not serving the husband doesn't feel any love for the wife at all. And the wife is having so many other boyfriends in the company with whom she goes to America, she goes here, there, everywhere. Then the husband doesn't feel that she is chaste by the way she behaves. She goes for parties. She is roaming with many other boys saying that I'm going for company work. Then he is not very sure of her chastity. So there are four duties of a woman. Service to the husband, being chaste, and service to the in-laws, not only service to in-laws, making a good relationship with the in-laws, like mother-in-law, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and everybody, like that. And also marrying with the mentality of the husband. Not only with the husband, but also marrying with the mentality of the husband. Understanding the needs of the husband and marrying with that. Like that it says. So if a woman and man, when they're living in a flat together, like husband and wife, but you know, wife doesn't serve husband in any particular way, husband doesn't feel any sympathy for her. And the wife says, okay, you are earning, I am also earning. I don't depend on your money. I have my purse, you have your purse. So then there is no sensitivity. They both are hurting one another. Because the wife doesn't depend on the husband, and the husband thinks she doesn't depend on me, why do I care for her? So he is in his little world and she is in her little world. Although physically they are living together in the same flat, but they are like robots. She robo, he robo. Both robots are together, that's all. Like zombies. That's what Prabhupada is saying, the modern day life makes us very insensitive, like this. Because the money making has become the goal of life, not man making. Man making means character. Money making means animal. One simply becomes like a two-legged animal, making lot of money, but there is no character focus, there is no culture focus, there is no spirituality focus, because of which people are living and walking like dead bodies in this world. They have no sensitivity. So here he is saying, advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of myths and practice to deteriorate the finer instincts of human being. When our finer instincts are deteriorated, how will be our behavior? We will be extremely selfish. Me and my job, my money, my car. In many homes, if there are four members in a family, they have four TVs. You know that? Why? Because I will watch my TV, the channel that I want to watch. You go to your room and you watch your TV, your channel. So this kind of selfishness has come. Earlier there used to be one TV, then all of them sit together and watch Mahabharata or something. But now you go to your room, you watch any channel of your choice. So when finer instincts are lost, everybody becomes very selfish. Everybody thinks me and my pocket, my vehicle, my room, my things. Everybody. Even after we have become devotees, we have to take a second look at our mentality, our attitude. Whether we are I-centered or we are we-centered. We-centered means, you know, we also think about others, their needs. Like sometimes you go and ask somebody, you know, Prabhuji, you know, I wanted to ask you something, Prabhuji, can I talk to you? Oh, I have no time. No, don't come. Okay, Prabhuji, can I write a mail to you? Hey, don't write any mail. Already they have too many mails to reply. Can I make a phone call? Hey, don't make phone call. Don't disturb me, I am already getting too many phone calls. So this person says, then how can I approach him? I can't mail him, I can't phone him, I can't meet him personally, he has no time. Then how can I approach him? Prabhuji, how can I approach you? Maybe next lifetime, not now. Then what you will do when he wants something? Then he will come to you, He put his hand in her shoulder. Prabhuji, kaise hai? That day he wanted to meet me. I was little busy. I hope you will forgive me. Now I have come to you to ask you something now. Can you kindly do this? Can you kindly do that? When he wants, he will show all the 32 teeth. When he wants to get something done. And then when somebody else wants something, I have no time. Just see, what does that mean? This is actually insensitive. This is selfishness. So when we, like he says, in the finer instincts of the human being, and when finer instincts are of the human being is affected, means what? People don't mind stamping on others' heads to climb up the ladder of success. People take somebody else's material and publish a book and say that I am the author of the book. So it's called plagiarism, we call it. In BRC, somebody would do research and another scientist would steal his material before he publishes. He published it in his name. Then the scientist will commit suicide. So they call Anushakti Nagar as Atmahatya Nagar, they call it. Because people become so selfish that they don't care what happens to others. Wo jinda hai mara hai mujhe parwa nahi. That is modern day life. Somebody is next door neighbor, they are crying loudly, somebody has died. One will just come out of the house and see like this and push off. Then they will go for their work. Who cares? Because he doesn't even know the name of the person who is living next. They have no finer instinct. So in this way, as the modern society increases the amount of machines and life based on machines, life centered around machines, then we also become machine-like. That is the point here. So advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of mills and factories to deteriorate the finer instincts of the human being, but on developing potent spiritual instincts of human beings and giving them a chance to go back to Godhead. Development of factories and mills is called Ugra Karma, pungent activities. They deteriorate finer sentiments of human being and society to form a dungeon of demons, he says. And then Prabhupada says further, here there is mention of pious trees, seasonal flowers and fruits. Impious trees are useless jungles only. Therefore they can only be used to supply fuels. And modern civilization is such impious trees are planted on sides of roads. He's saying, see, instead of planting mango or chikku or jackfruit, such kind of trees on either side of the road, they are planting what trees? Cactus trees or thorny trees. Why? They will say that, hey, if you plant mango trees, people will steal mango and go. What is the problem in stealing? Let them take and go. Because you didn't create mango, God creates mangoes. If mango falls and children pick it up and take it, let them take it. Like tamarind is falling, school children want to pick up and eat it, let them eat it. Is it your property? Whose property it is? God's property. Tiena tak tiena bunjita, he says. We should know to whom it belongs to. If you plant fruit-bearing trees and fruits are falling, children want to take and eat, let them eat it. Let some birds want to eat, let them eat it. Foolish man says, I will put thorny trees so that nobody can get any fruit. So Prabhupada says like that. Human energy should be properly utilized in developing the finer senses for spiritual understanding, in which lies the solution of life. And then he says a very important thing. Fruits, flowers, beautiful gardens, parks, reservoirs of water with ducks and swans playing in the midst of lotus flowers and cows giving sufficient milk and butter. They are essential for developing the finer tissues of the human body, he says. Which means, in another place also Prabhupada writes, when you see a pond, when you see a lake, when you see waterfalls, when you see ocean, when you see greenery, when you see flower gardens, when you see fruit-bearing trees, when you are surrounded by greenery like that. So all these things, Prabhupada says, have a tendency to increase the sattva in our mind more and more, even simply by seeing them. Therefore, many of the IT company people, they get fed up with synthetic life and they go to Lonavala in the weekend, correct, no? Because they want to see some waterfalls. How many of you observed that modern man is very fond of nature? Correct? You will see that. Why? Because they are fed up. The rajas and tamas is burning their hearts. So they want some, because the nature is mother nature, so the lap of mother nature is very soothing. You go to your lawn, like we have a lawn right in front of our ashram. You lie down in the lawn, how you feel? It's like lying in mother's lap. Because nature is mother, we feel very comfortable. In our temple, we have fountain also here. So a lot of families, husband, wife, children, they come and just sit in the lawn. Some water of the fountain falls on them also a little bit. It's like drizzling. So my sisters were saying, when they come here, they can, people sit for 2 hours. So it's a very, why? Because people want a soothing touch of nature. Correct, no? So Prabhupada is saying, because of such touch of nature increases sattva, and increase of sattva causes peace of mind. That is why, now you may ask, why did they suddenly want to come to sattva-guna? Not that they want to become devotees. But they want sattva because in sattva you get peace of mind. Therefore people go close to nature to get peace of mind. So if you know this truth, then why don't you increase the presence of nature even in the city? Let houses be remote, one house here, one house here, one house here, like that. In between, let there be a lot of nature, you can say. No, sir, for they cannot do it. Why? Because city is a place where, just like when you have honey, you know, all the ants come. Prabhupada says, if you put some sugar particles in the 20th floor of a building, ants living under the bhoomi in a hole, they will come to 20th floor. They will climb up and come. Wherever, Prabhupada says, if you put little liquor drops, these ants will climb up 20-story building and they will smell and find it and come there. They will come to. So Prabhupada says, similarly money also. Wherever you put money, immediately crowd of people come. Like Bombay, you see, the Bombay city can only contain 1.5 million people. Right now there are 15 million people in Bombay. Which means in one room, if one person can live, you put 10 people. How it will be? That is how Bombay is. Therefore, they are making concrete jungle. Recently, there was a talk in Mayapur also. You know, many people have taken lands and they are developing housing colonies. So one fellow had written a very strong protest letter saying that people are making housing colonies, houses, with leaving very little space. They are not giving enough space for gardens and, you know, ponds and parks. And they are making buildings so close, only 2 inches they leave. It's appearing as if it's going to hit one another. They are making like this. So he had made a request to all the devotees, please raise protest. Mayapur is holy dham and they should not do like this. And one fellow had written a long letter. I saw it. Therefore, government of India also has amenity space. Correct, no? See, amenity space means where you are allowed to have ponds or you can have gardens. It has to be open to sky space. You can't construct anything there. In amenity space, they keep it. Of course, people do all kinds of golmaal to get the amenity space also. And they say, no, we will not do anything on amenity space, but our building will extend up to the amenity, like this. They protrude this thing. So many things they do. Amenity space is also misused by many people in various ways. But the idea is, you understand the reason now? Why we have to have greenery, ponds, orchards? What is the benefit? It increases sattva. Sattva guna is increased. Even we also, when you go for camps, where we want to go? You want to go to IT company inside? Yeah. Or you want a synthetic office surrounded by all plastics? Like sometimes in MG Road, you find an electric coconut tree. You have seen that? You have seen that? Actually, they are trying to make a coconut tree. At least by seeing it, you will feel some sattva at least. Although it's an electric tree. Isn't it? You have seen electric coconut tree? They put it up, correct? Yeah. Similarly, I went to one of our student centers. They put a leaf. It looked like a leaf. You know, they put for me also. And I said, it was paper. Any of you know like that the leaf type of paper is coming? I said, you have eaten a paper like a donkey. You eaten a paper. Donkey eats paper. It looks like a banana leaf. Correct, no? Nowadays they make round plastic thing in which leaf color they draw in that. You have seen that? Yeah, all kinds of crazy things. Simply by drawing a leaf, you will not get sattva. Because the banana leaf has pran. You know prana? But a plastic leaf doesn't have any prana. So that is why by eating a banana leaf, your health improves, your consciousness improves, sattva guna increases. But a plastic leaf, you shape it like a banana leaf and you give a green color paint to that. That doesn't make it Sattva will not increase. You eat in plastic, you will be like plastic person. You will have a plastic smile after eating in plastic. So, very powerful purport, you see. Fruits, flowers, beautiful gardens, parks and reservoir waters with ducks and swans. All these things, cows giving butter, and they help us develop finer tissues of the human body. As against this, the dungeons of mines, factories, workshops develop demoniac propensities in the working class. He's saying. Gopuradvara margeshu kritakautaka toranam chitradvaja patakagrair antapratihata tapam. See, Gopura, the entrance to the city, like we have a gateway of India, like that big arch, entrance is there, and Dwara Marga, that is the entrance, and Krita Kautuka Toranam. For this festival, Toranam is made. Toranam is like mango leaves, Toranam. And also wherever there are pillars, you put banana, plantain, cut plantain trees with banana leaves, that kind of. Similarly, there were painted flags, painted with Garuda, or Hanuman, or Shankar, Chakra, Gada, Padma, all the holy symbols. They were all put in flags. Flags, pataka means the flags, And all these things, flags, garlands, painted signs, slogans, all combined to shade the sunshine. In this way, so that these flags and festoons and garlands, painted signs, all these things, they gave shade to the walking people so that the hot sun will not fall on them. I like that he says. Sammarjita Mahamarga Ratya Panaka Chatvaram Siktam Gandajalai Ruptam Falapushpakshatam Kuraihi. See, everywhere it was thoroughly cleaned. Sammarjita Mahamarga, the big road, like we have the grand road in Puri, like that the Mahamarga, the biggest road where the Lord is appearing, coming now, that entire highways, they were all, and also the subways, lanes also, not only the main road, but also the inner lanes, they were all thoroughly cleansed by throwing, sprinkling water, and it was moistured with scented water, not ordinary water, and to welcome the Lord, fruits, flowers, unbroken seeds, they were all strewn everywhere. Dvari dvari grihanam cha dadyakshata falekshubihi alankritam purna kumbhair balibhair dhupadipakaihi. Translation. Dwari dwari, at every door of everyone's house. Yes?
In each and every door of the residential houses, auspicious things like curd, unbroken fruits, sugar cane, and full water pots with articles for worship, incense and candles were all displayed.
Yeah. See, Prabhupada writes in the purport. Read purport.
Purport. The process of reception, according to Vedic rites, is not at all dry. The reception was made not simply by decorating the roads and streets as above mentioned, but by worshipping the Lord with requisite ingredients like incense, lamps, flowers, sweets, fruits, and other palatable eatables, according to one's capacity. All were offered to the Lord, and the remnants of the foodstuff were distributed amongst the gathering citizens. So it was not like a dry reception of these modern days. Each and every house was ready to receive the Lord in a similar way, and thus each and every house on the roads and streets distributed such remnants of food to the citizens, and therefore the festival was successful. Without distribution of food, no function is complete, and that is the way of Vedic culture.
Yeah. So here Prabhupada explains beautifully about the process of reception in the Vedic time, how it was not at all dry. You see, the Lord is coming in and He is being welcomed by all the citizens in a very grand way. Like you will find when the Lord is entering, you see this, you know, in this picture you find when Krishna is coming, in a white umbrella is being held on the top of, above His head, which is a sign of honor. He is given respect. Like we carry Prabhupada in the morning, we carry umbrella above His head, isn't it? Similarly, when Indra Raja is sitting on the throne, above his head there will be the umbrella. Similarly, for Radha Vandavan Chandra Gaurnita, you see umbrella above their heads, correct? This is actually a sign of offering respect to every great personality, so carrying an umbrella above their head. Similarly, fanning a person on either side, like when Prabhupada is giving lecture, we fan him. So that is also a sign of offering respect to a person when he is being brought. Showering flowers on a person or making a road made of flower petals. That is why, to the degree a person is adored, admired, and our affection is externally expressed with great jubilation and pomp, there should be some music instruments played, band is played, different like shanais are played. It's not shanai, what do you call this one? Trumpet is like this, I think. It's like this. Shanai only? How do you spell it? Uttari? Tutari? Tutari. Like that. You seen that? Trumpet, big trumpet, yeah. And long one also, and the band also they play, all these things. Different type of... yesterday you all must have seen in the slideshow, isn't it? In the South India they play different types of... Similarly, we have in Jagannath Rathayatra also, all of them carrying similar type of gong and beating. Correct, no? Then what happens? Isn't it? Then everybody's attention is there. Wherever, not one or two people. How many there? Practically 20, 30 people are there. And they are moving. Not only they are playing, that they are dancing also. Correct, no? How they move their hips, their legs. Everybody's attention is there. And then they know, why are they doing? Because Jagannath is coming. It is actually a welcome. So they dance, they play music, and they beat. So this kind of reception, when Lord is coming, and the Brahmanas are chanting Vedic mantras, the young unmarried Kumaris, girls, they are asked to carry the kalashas on their head. They are one of the first ones. First you will see Kumaris carrying kalashas. Then the Brahmanas chanting Vedic mantras. Then there will be some people on the horses. There will be some people on the elephants. And then when the king is brought on a royal procession in a chariot or something like that, flowers are shot. So then the procession becomes very grand. So in this way, and also these are all done around the king. But then every house, Dwari, he says, in every house people have kept kalashas outside their house. So the kalasha has a white thread wound around it, which represents the 14 planetary systems. You will see that. It has a coconut in the top representing Brahma, and the leaves represent the lotus in which Brahma sits. The water inside the kalash represents all the holy waters in all over the world. So the kalashas are placed, there are golden gates in everybody's house. The gates are also decorated with toranams, and they have sprinkled rose-scented waters. They have put rangolis outside the houses, which means the welcome is not a general welcome, it is a specific welcome, because every house wants to say that we are also welcoming. Just like when you go with Jagannath Rathayatra, sometimes some dukandar comes out and he wants to offer arati to the Lord, correct, no? And he has made a big arch. Welcome to Jagannath. Correct, no? Welcome Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And they may put their name. Who has made that arch? Correct, no? So it is a specific welcome. It is not that sometimes our devotees only go to the top and shower flowers. Actually, other fellows should shower flowers. Of course, in the event of nobody showering, our devotee showering is all right. But our devotees should train others. Correct, no? When Lord is coming, devotees are coming. Many, many times when Harinam is coming, people are watching. Kya hai? Like that they are asking. Harinam, if you go to Navadvipa and do Harinam, people will fall on the ground immediately. You will find, even today, you go to the Navadvipa village immediately. Because when Harinam is coming, when devotees are chanting and dancing, you will see In our temple also, in the temple hall above, we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Pugada, they are coming. All the villagers, they are bowing down. To the degree the populace is trained in this type of royal reception, then the person who is being received, his heart will be touched. And the people who are receiving in this way, they will make spiritual advancement by welcoming the Lord, welcoming devotees. And the whole mahal is such that everyone gets an opportunity to render some type of seva. The kumaris get service, brahmanas get service, mridangam players, band players get service. Like we were in this Paryaya festival, we got to see. Paryaya festival, different groups of people came and gave different type of performances. Different type of bands, different type of mridangam, different type of adhyams, different type of dances, different people singing, singers also singing. All performed for the pleasure of the Lord, like this. Now it is not only the Lord, the devotee of the Lord deserves to be given respect exactly as the Lord is offered respect. Because a devotee is like an ambassador who is coming to represent the Lord. Therefore, in our Pune temple, when I came in 95, since the very early days I remember, we created a certain type of culture in welcoming Vaishnava guests. I personally participated in it. Therefore, I have spoken about it in Brahmachari classes also. I said when a Swami is coming, we should personally go to airport to receive. And we should not send some young Yellow Brigade devotees or somebody. The Saffron devotee should go to the airport. Because if a big person is coming, then big devotee should go. Senior devotee should go. Imagine if you send some Chotamata devotee, he's having little hair also, you know, he's having little mustache also, and you send him to receive. What does that mean? That means you are not taking the person seriously. Correct, no? Then imagine if 5-6 stout mota saffron devotees go to receive. That makes a difference. Maharaja, whoever Maharaja is coming, you will understand. That means they have taken my arrival seriously. And if president is also there along with them, then he will know they are serious. Correct, no? They are serious about receiving. They want me. You know, I am not unwanted here. You garland him and you bring him to temple. When he comes to temple, there are devotees and in circle doing kirtan. And Matajis have placed flower petals, and he is getting down and walking. Lokanath Swami Maharaj especially has deeply appreciated our culture of welcoming. His Holiness Bhaktivika Swami Maharaj also deeply appreciated. They have told Parampaja Gopaksha Maharaj would say, "What is this, Radhesham? Every time, even if I come alternate months, still your people come to receive so many of them." And he smiled. So this is a very good culture, bringing them to temple. Taking them, like now Gopaksha Maharaj was taking darshan here, he's going to Balaji. One group of kirtan party should go with him. Why you should go with him? Then all the people on the road, not road means this, bridge, what they will do if they hear the big kirtan party coming? They'll move aside and give way. And everybody will ask, "Kya ho gaya? Why is the kirtan party coming?" "Are bade Maharaj hai." "Kaun hai Maharaj?" "Are GB Singh Pune ke." "Naam kya hai unka?" "Gopaksha Maharaj." "Kidhar aate hain?" "Dilli mein rehte hain." "Kidhar prachar karte hain?" "Sare duniya mein prachar karte hain." "Kiske disciple hain?" "Prabhupada ke disciple hain." "Acha Prabhupada ke kitne saal se hain?" "40 saal se hain." "45 saal se hain." So when we talk, that is how people come to know about the greatness of a saintly person. And when they come to know, abhi kya karne wale, lecture dene wale hain, theek hai jaakar baitho, dekhte hain kya bolte hain. Are itna bada aadmi to aaya hai, kuch to acha bolega, baith kar sunenge. Then people get eagerness to sit and listen. Like here, we had this lecture, Bhagavad Katha by His Holiness Vaishnava Maharaj, Bhakti Ashraya Vaishnava Maharaj. How many of you saw the stage, how it was? You saw the stage? How many of you felt it was extraordinary? Correct, no? Such golden kind of pillars, and Maharaj was sitting deep inside, you saw? They had given one canopy kind of thing for him to sit. And outside, lot of arrangements for music and decorations and everything. See, we people don't know how to do it. We never did it. We don't know also how to do it. This is all done by whom? Outside people. It's not done by EM, our EM. Outside. Our EM people may not know these things. Correct. They had actually one outside team. See, traditionally in India, Vaishya people, business people, they have a policy that in one lifetime they have to arrange one Bhagavad Katha. It is coming in their vamsh. So this family had arranged Bhagavati. They got the outside this thing. They made such a elaborate decoration, everything, chaka chak, shining lights and everything. And Katha went, his hall was practically full. Why? If you go to Kiritubhai and all these people come and they do Bhagavad Katha and all, they make it a very, they bring a silver chariot in which they bring the Bhagavatam, then they bring the Guruji in a silver chariot, they put him on an elevated asana, nobody will miss seeing him because he is in such a great height. You know? Everybody, so why they create such a hype, respect, so that people will be attracted to come and participate in the program. Therefore, sometimes they get 25,000, 50,000, 1 lakh people. To the degree you glorify the speaker, to the degree you glorify the Bhagavatam, to the degree you advertise the program in a big way, then lot and lot of people are attracted. Correct, no? They do that. So why this was done in the Vedic times also, by this, the whole idea is to benefit the people ultimately. Because people in general are foolish, and unless you make some big, you know, presence of a thing, they don't take it very seriously. For example, you call a pure devotee, and you don't advertise much. You just say in a small notice, in the notice board, pure devotee aaya hai hamare mandir mein. And a pure devotee is giving a Bhagavatam class, char devotees will come, that's all. Not many will come. So, especially when Swami has come, Maharaj has come, it is our duty that we make their arrival grand, we make their pravachanas grand, we make their introduction, and you have seen me how I introduce people. Unless we heartily introduce people, elaborately telling all the glories, people will not know who they are. Because people, common people, simply by looking at them, they cannot understand. So how do we glorify them? How do we garland them, welcome them? How do we respect them, honor them? How do we follow them? How do we advertise them? That is process of reception. So I have seen also when people do that, then lot of people will benefit, and the followers will follow the leader in whatever way you do. Like for example, we go to some place, we go, they have arranged a program, but they have told about the program only to me. They have not told many people at all. And then when you go there, you find some local 10-12 people are sitting, and you find they called me for a program, but they haven't told anybody. The people who are supposed to come and attend, they didn't come. So it's a weekday, you know, so not many people have come. They will say like that. On the other hand, I have gone to some places, they advertise the program so thoroughly. You go there is no place for people to sit. Kata kata kata, crowd, the door is occupied, every window is occupied, everywhere it is occupied, because they have advertised very well. And they introduce a person heartily, heartily welcome him. So we had gone to the Pune station to welcome His Holiness Bhaktivikasa Swami Maharaj. He saw a crowd of a dozen brahmacharis with mridangam, kartal, garland and everything. When he got out, he got excited. He raised his eyebrows and said, and then he saw me also. He went and garlanded him and offered obeisance. Everybody fell flat on the ground. And this is the way Prabhupada was received. Wherever Prabhupada went, now the culture is slowly degrading in ISKCON. You will see, when Prabhupada went anywhere, you go to Mayapur also today, they welcome sannyasis like this in Mayapur, even today. This culture is there. In Mayapur, it is even more grand. You have to go and watch sometimes how they welcome the gurus in Mayapur. One guru comes, they welcome in a very special way. So, when we welcomed him, he immediately raised his hand and started dancing. And all his servant and other people took all the luggage. Then Maharaj called me and said, Radhasham, you have a good Harinam team. Come, let's go on Harinam in the station. So he took us up to the engine, then he took us up to the tail end of the vehicle. 3-4 times he went, and Maharaj was peeping into the window and telling people, Harinam, like that he was telling. Chant, chant. And all the people are looking, and they also chanted Hare Krishna like this. Until when the train went, we said Tata to train, and then we came back. Then Maharaj came back, and later on he wrote in a mail to me. He said, Radhesham, your welcome in Pune temple welcome is fantastic. He said, I would like to come here again only to enjoy this beauty of this Harinam welcome. So he was very deeply inspired. Now he comes almost like once in a year he comes. So when we welcome like this, then they will want to come again and again. How you express your welcome to them. That will make them come again and again. So they will feel at home, we say, no? They will feel at home when they come here. They feel very comfortable. They are arranging a nice accommodation, giving nice prasad. See, prasadam, accommodation, taking them for darshan is one thing. But over and above that, do these people want me? Do these people like me? Do they really seek my association? Or they are doing it as a duty, formality? That everybody will see. Like Sankarsana Adhikari Prabhu is coming and giving lecture, when everybody is coming and attending and asking questions and learning from him. Then he says, once he told me that, I want to come 2 times to Pune in a year. Although he travels worldwide, he's a busy person. He comes twice, 3-4 days. Revati Patipu is personally taking care of him whenever he comes. So when I was not available in temple, he was very sad. So he wrote a mail to me, Rajasham, when I come nowadays, you have become a senior man, you are traveling everywhere, you know. Then I told Revati Patipu, I connected him to him. Revati Patipu takes such personal care of him. He said, Radhesham, you travel anywhere you want. I have no worry. As long as Revati Pati Prabhu is there. He is exactly like you. He just takes care of me exactly like you, he said. So that is why we need many leaders who can give such care. The leader should not only welcome in the airport and after that he is absconding. He should go to his room. He should make sure his prasadam is given. I if you ask me, myself, I won't say I care for guests. I only pamper the guest. A pamper is more than care. When guests come, I'll go to the room. When water is not there, I will tell the servant, hey, go and get 5 water bottles. Keep dozen Bisleri bottles, more than what he needs. You keep it. Make sure you show him how to use the AC. Is the geyser working? Is the bed comfortable for him? What else you need? And what prasadam he wants? What time he wants? All these things I used to call the servant. Of course, servant can also ask him. But my asking is different from another servant asking, isn't it? What is the difference between my asking and another person asking? What is the difference? If Radhesham is calling me to Pune, I am coming. If he is putting his other work aside and coming and asking what he wants. On the other hand, I remain in my room doing my reading, chanting, and that guru's disciple only goes, Maharaj, aap kya kahenge, kya chahiye aapko? Are tum kaho na, tum to mera hi chala, mera hi shishya, ye kya badi baat hai? Person from the temple, the local people, they should show eagerness. They will see that. Actually, these are all very fine things, very subtle things. Actually, we will understand these things to the degree we heartily serve. The more we heartily serve, more and more Krishna will reveal how we can serve them in more and more finer ways, understanding their tone. Like Gopakshamar sometimes says, you know, when he calls, he will say, Rajasham, I'm coming by flight. You all don't need to come. You are all busy devotees. You have so many things to do in temple. You relax. I will just come on my own, he says. What should we do? Should we go or not? How many of you say we should go? And others, how many of you feel we should not go? So you all understood, isn't it? And then after you go, you meet him in the airport, you garland and you offer obeisances. Radhesham, why you took trouble? You may ask. So for his part, he will say like that, but in our part, we should go, we should meet, we should serve. Because by welcoming him, who benefits? We benefit. We make advancement in our spiritual life. Similarly, we cannot do drama to special guests. Like, you know, sometimes when special guests come, they are giving lecture. You sit in the front, you know, or in the side for some time, and slowly after 10 minutes you slip out. And then you say, I have to go here, I have to go there. They will say that, he invites, but he has no interest to sit and hear. They will say, correct, no? So therefore, whenever I invite anyone to Pune, I am fully present. I give myself fully to them. Otherwise, you know, therefore, when we say we are leaders of Pune, what kind of leader are you? Leader means you have to open your heart to the welcoming the Vaishnavas whom we are calling. And we have to put our heart, soul, body, mind, everything, especially when we are inviting them, making sure they get proper prasad, proper accommodation, proper attention, proper care, taking them around. Like I can tell one of the devotees, hey, Maharaj is coming first time, you just take him around the temple. And that person says, Maharaj, This is Radha Vrindavan Chandra and Jagannath Baladev and Gaurinatha. If you go straight and you know, and you cross the bridge, Maharaj, you will get Balaji also. A few steps you have to climb up. You don't have lift for Balaji. You go up. And he will go to ashram. Like I will be reading with my book, he will be reading with his book. But care means you take him to the altar, you show him different things you have done, how this construction was done, who was involved. Basically, you have to spend time with them. Same thing with cultivating boys and boys. If any of you boys devotees are sitting here, you have to treat your boys like your children, like parents treat their children. You ask Damodar how his mother takes care of him. Like that, you have to take care of boys. If you don't take care of boys very personally, which means you have to worry about their food, you have to worry about their drinking water, you have to worry about their health, you have to worry about their study room, study table, their scores and everything. You have to worry about things which they don't express also, and with their mouth, which they may be. They will only open up if you regularly go there. They will only open up if they find you actively serving them. If you actively serve them, then only they will open up. Otherwise, they will keep mum. They will not say. So, but if you are in your world, they will be in their world. That's all. Then the center cannot expand. That is why you see some centers are flourishing, some centers are sickly. Why? The flourishing centers are centers where the leaders are very attentive. They offer all-round care. And all-round care plus the training. Training and education. When this is combined, those centers will flourish. So the reception, that's what Prabhupada is saying, the Vedic reception is not at all dry. It is filled with consciousness. It's filled with very fine-tuned sentiments involved. Like for example, you know, who likes what? And accordingly one should, and also one should take their suggestions and instructions seriously. Sometimes when you see some leaders come and they say, like this, Sankrishnadikar Prabhu says, don't bang the karta loudly when I come. So before he comes only we tell all the devotees, nobody will use the big karta, play softly. So he's very happy that we are attentive to his needs. Correct, no? Yeah. You know, when he came to the Kunjibari temple in Sannyasi room, you know, I gave him two keys. And he was so happy, he gave me a big embrace and pat on the back and said, Radhesham, how did you understand my mind? He said. I said, Prabhu, because your wife may sometimes go to temple hall and you may want to go, that's why I gave you one key. You know, when two people are staying, it's better to give them two keys than one key. Otherwise, what happens? One fellow locks and keeps key and goes, other person will come and see the room locked. Correct, no? So, that means we have to exceed the expectations. If we do that, then they will come again and again. So, here, Krishna is being welcomed in the same manner with great pomp. And then see 16:17. On hearing that most dear Krishna was approaching Dwaraka Dham, magnanimous Vasudev, Vakrura, Ugrasen, Balaram, Pradyumna, Charudeshna, Samba, and all of them extremely happy, abandoned resting, sitting and dining. That means somebody was resting, they got up and ran. Somebody was eating prasad, they washed the hand, thought that I'll eat later. Now they ran immediately. So in this way, somebody was sitting and chatting. As soon as they heard, they ran immediately. So if a great personality has come to a temple, this is the way we have to behave also. We have to learn from this. And these are not ordinary Chotamata people. Balaram, is Balaram Chotamata? You see? Vasudev, Krishna's father. Ugrasena, old personality. Even he is jumping, running. Pradyumna Charudeshna, Samba, you see. Everybody is getting up and running. That means everyone, in case we do that, imagine if some Swami Maharaj is coming, if everybody in the ashram throws everything and goes running to receive them, the temple hall is flooded with people, or the welcome lobby, the area is flooded with lot of devotees who are coming with folded palms, with, you know, participating in the kirtan. You go to the temple hall, hear some arrival lecture, and then when he goes to his room to retire, then you go to your room. Few minutes, but by pleasing that personality, we can get abundant advancement in our spiritual life. You see? In this way, they all are coming running. And then the 18th verse says, read the translation.
Hare Krishna. They hasten towards the Lord on chariots with brahmanas bearing flowers. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conchals and bugles were sounded, and Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects, which were saturated with affection.
Yeah. So Prabhupada says the Vedic way of receiving great personality creates an atmosphere of respect, saturated with affection and veneration for the person received. As the Prabhupada says. That means two things are very important. We have to have respect for that person, and one step beyond respect is affection for that person. At least we should have respect if we don't have affection. Why respect? Are bada aadmi hai. Sare duniya mein ghumta hai, bada prachar. You know, yes, you know, thousands of followers. He's a great person. At least that much respect should be there, at least. And then over and above that, if you can have affection, oh, that is wonderful. There is nothing like affection. Affection can, like for example, sometimes when some Swami comes to Pune, and I am eating my prasad, or I am in bathroom taking a bath, they will never mind it if I am not there also. Why? Because they know the relationship is so thick that my absence will not be misunderstood. They know that, okay, if he may be in bathroom or something, and I come a little later also. That is the power of affection. Otherwise, if the relationship is superficial, if I am not there, what is the immediate way mind will decode? He doesn't respect me. He doesn't understand me. See, I am coming and he is not here. What does that mean? That kind of thoughts will come. But if affection is very deep, even if, like there are times when I have not been here, when leaders came and went into Pune, but I talked to them on phone, over phone, and asked them how it was, how was his trip to Pune, were they comfortable, everything was arranged very nicely, and they very frankly tell whatever they felt, they will tell like that. So the affection is, affection cannot be artificially created. We can only pray to Krishna that he gives us affection to good souls. So by being affectionate to them, we immensely benefit by being affectionate. The auspicious atmosphere depends on the paraphernalia described above, including shank, flowers, decorated elephants, qualified brahmanas reciting verses. Such a program of reception is full of sincerity on the part of both receiver and received. Because the receiver is feeling shy. You know, he is getting garland after garland from so many people, and they are bowing down, and he feels, no, I don't deserve this. They have put so much flowers on the way for me to walk. I don't deserve this. So he is feeling very humble. And the people who are receiving, they are profusely showering, you know, respect and affection on him. Somebody is coming and give, please take fruit juice. Somebody is coming and give some dry fruits. Somebody is giving some money in the hand. Somebody is bringing a child, please bless my child. So when great souls come, when many, many people come and offer, they feel actually themselves utterly unqualified. But the other people who deal with him in such affectionate ways, because that affection also is selfless. Affection by nature is selfless. Due to which, because the selfless thing is outgoing vector, it's not incoming vector. When affection goes from our heart, we feel happiness. And the person who receives affection, he feels utterly unqualified. So he feels great joy also. Both ways it is. And then the next verse says, 19th verse. Read it, translation.
At the same time, many hundreds of well-known prostitutes began to proceed on various vehicles. They were all very eager to meet the Lord, and the beautiful faces were decorated with dazzling earrings, which enhanced the beauty of their foreheads.
Read the first part of the purport.
We may not hate even the prostitutes if they are devotees of the Lord. Even to date, there are many prostitutes in great cities of India who are sincere devotees of the Lord. By tricks of chance, one may be obliged to adopt a profession which is not very adorable in society, but that does not hamper one in executing devotional service to the Lord.
Yeah, by tricks of chance means by destiny. Say somebody, like in the train when you go, sometimes people come and they do like this. You've seen that? They are not male or female. They're eunuchs. They're partially male, partially female. Their hormones in their body, they develop certain type of combination of male-female. Their bodily movements, their speeches are like female, but they're partly male also. So such type of people also, sometimes you will see, once we give our cookies to any beggar who comes. So So once I remember giving cookie to one such eunuch who was clapping hands and asking money from different people. So as soon as that personality received, he looking at our dress and attire and everything, he immediately did like this. And then he ate it. Prasad. What goes to show is that although they may be prostitutes or eunuch or whatever, even they can have devotion. So the bhakti is so powerful. It can actually penetrate the heart of animals, birds, like I told you the other day. Why not then even somebody who might have adopted a low-class profession, like prostitution or something, like that Prabhupada is saying. Yeah.
Devotional service to the Lord is uncheckable in all circumstances. It is understood herewith that even in those days about 5,000 years ago, there were prostitutes in a city like Dwaraka, where Lord Krishna resided. This means that prostitutes are necessary citizens for the proper upkeep of society. The government opens wine shops, but this does not mean that the government encourages the drinking of wine.
Yeah, why the government opens wine shop? Otherwise people will make Deshi liquor. You know Deshi? Deshi is very dangerous. Because it is made in the village by some men. And if one drinks Deshi liquor, what happens? Yeah, many become blind. Some people's liver is destroyed completely. Some people die also. Some people, because it's extremely intense. So seeing this kind of foolish behavior of citizens, the government opens wine shops where they give very mild, intoxicating wine. And that wine will not kill anyone or make anyone blind. But at the same time, government doesn't want to drink too much wine. So they put a permit. Correct, no? This much permit. Only that much will be given to them. So they can go to the shop, authorized shops, and they may buy and drink that much liquor only, and they don't ruin their health. So government's desire is, on one hand, they stop drinking wine altogether. But some people will not hear such good instruction. They will definitely go for making Deshi wine. Then in order to stop them, then they open a wine shop. Like the Prabhupada says. Similarly, Prabhupada says, in society there should be some prostitutes, Prabhupada says. Why? Because some rich men who have a lot of wealth, they already have a wife and family and everything, but still their senses are so uncontrolled that they will want to indulge with other women. But when they get such a desire, they may pollute the women of good families if they are not having prostitutes. They may catch any woman who is poverty stricken and give her money and say, you come and sleep with me. There are some rich people who may do that. And poor woman also, due to need of money, they may do that. So in this way, kulakshaye pradushyanti. Pradushyanti, kuladharma sanatanaha, he says. Kulastris will become polluted. Their wombs will become polluted. And women's womb become polluted, they cannot beget powerful children. So if a woman's womb is never corrupt or polluted by other men, but she only unites with the husband, then she will produce powerful children. Therefore, in India, you will find the Rajput ladies, they produced powerful Rajarishi kings because they were very chaste. Once when Padmini's husband was killed, Rajput king was killed, and the Muslim king wanted to enjoy with Padmini because she was very good looking. So he arranged for her to be brought to him. When she came to know, she entered fire along with her 13,000 dasis and self-immolated herself, because the women were so chaste and they were very strict. They would not let anyone. I asked Govind Prabhu, why did she enter fire, Prabhuji? She could have taken some little poison or something. You know, fire is more painful. He said, in case she took poison and died, they may take a dead body of that woman and insult her badly. So that is why she entered the fire, only bones would be left. So in this way, chaste women have lived in our country. And those are powerful wombs. So Govind was telling that, alas, alas, because our country lost such women who had such powerful character, and they would have produced, it's not that they would have produced, they already produced very powerful children. Prabhupada says the sick people, the Singhs, they have physical power. Those women produce men who are very tall and hefty, who can join army. The name only is Singh. Singh means lion, isn't it? So in Punjab, they are capable of producing very tall and hefty men. They produce many Sikhs and Singh like that. Similarly, Prabhupada says those women who are chaste and pure, they produce very powerful saintly children like Shivaji Maharaj and such kind of very powerful. So, if a woman's purity has to be preserved, then the rascal men who want to exploit other women's bodies, so such men need prostitutes in a society. So it's a revolutionary purport, Prabhupada's writing. See, Prabhupada is saying, similarly, men who are not satisfied at home require such concessions. And if there is no prostitute, then such low men will induce others into prostitution. Nowadays you find boys, girls in the college, in the name of girlfriend, boyfriend, they are polluting one another. Actually, in America, people say girlfriend, boyfriend, but they consider anybody to be a friend. You can be a man or a woman. But in India, when Indian boys and girls have friendship, it ends up in sex life only. And when it ends up in sex life, both get polluted even before marriage. Then after marriage, what happens? The girl is still thinking of the old boy because she thinks husband is not cooperative. And the boy is still thinking of the old girl. He thinks his newly wedded wife is not up to my expectation. In this way, the relationship becomes illicit and contaminated and corrupt. So that's why Prabhupada says here, such low men, it is better that prostitutes be available in the marketplace so that the sanctity of society can be maintained. It is better to maintain a class of prostitutes than to encourage prostitution within society. The real reformation is to enlighten all people to become devotees of the Lord. And that will check all kinds of deteriorating factors of life, like that he says. Through the liquor example, Prabhupada explains this. Another thing, in the Vedic times, prostitution doesn't mean sex life necessarily. If you see that movie of Bilwa Mangal, this movie if you see, some stout, big-bellied men who are 60, 70 years old, they also used to come to the home of Chintamani. So they also did prostitution with her. But what is their prostitution? They want to see see the beauty of the woman, such a woman. They want to see her laughter. They want to see her speech. They want to see her dance. So she will dance and feed them some nice food, and they will give her some money and come. That is also considered prostitution in Vedic times. If you simply go to another woman to see her beauty or see her, hear her voice or joke with her, give her some money and come, that is also counted as prostitution. Nata nartaka gandharvaha sutamagadhavandinaha gayanti chottama shloka charitanjadbhutani cha. Everyone can serve the Lord. Nata, nartaka, gandharvaha, the dramatists, the dancers, the singers, the professional historians, the genealogists, the learned speakers, everybody did their performance in welcoming the Lord. And Prabhupada says, this was done for other kings also, not only the Lord. But Prabhupada says, this kind of Suta Magadana Vandinaha, they were not flatterers. They would actually glorify the king's chivalrous acts and religious acts. And the kings were very pleased by such praises, and they would give them gift, not because they were flattered, but the kings were encouraged to perform pious activities by their glorification, like the Prabhupada says. Bhagavam Satra Bandhunam Pauranam Anuvartinam Yata Vidhi Upasangamya Sarvesham Manamadade.
Yes. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, approached them and offered due honor and respect to each and every one of their friends, relatives, citizens, and all others who came to receive and welcome
him. Supreme Lord is neither impersonal nor inert object, but he always reciprocates the feelings of his devotees. How he reciprocates, said in the next verse, if you see. Read the translation next verse.
The Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands.
See, for some people, what he did, when he saw Brahmanas coming, he moved aside and he offered obeisances to them. Because Brahmanas are elderly and he respects them who give advice to the king. Similarly, some other people, other friends, like equal type of friends type of thing, when they came, he would just exchange greetings with them. Some of them he embraced, some of them he shook hands, some of them he just looked at them, glanced at them and gave them assurance that I have seen you. That much is also great. And some of them he smiled at them, and he gave assurances and awarding benedictions to people, even to the lowest in rank, it is said. That means he didn't neglect anyone, just because in rank they were low. That means, there were some servants also, there might have been some insignificant people also, who might have wanted to offer him some gift. So everybody was approachable. All people were allowed to approach the Lord. He was approachable to all. Read the next translation.
The Lord personally entered the city accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas with their wives, all offering benedictions.
See, elderly relatives like Vasudev, they are all elderly relatives, like Ugrasena. Ugrasena is very, very old. So they also had come to receive him. So along with them, he returned back. Along with invalid brahmanas means very old brahmanas who may be weak in the body. They have come along with their wives, they have come. So taking the brahmanas and their wives and their relatives, and all of them are offering him benedictions to Krishna. Because they were elderly, so they are offering blessings to the Lord also. And some of them brahmanas were singing the glories of the Lord. And others were also praising the Lord's glories. Next translation. Okay, next one is going to the next theme. Now we can go for